Now, the rest of the story. And today we're going to visit 17th century London because there's a place I'd like you to see called Mulberry Garden. Now, the term most often applied to Mulberry Garden is pleasure resort. that doesn't say it all. Sort of an amusement park without the rides. Refreshment tables, a bowling alley, a restaurant serving all manner of exotic cuisine, miles of arbors and crosswalks. Mulberry Garden by day is the ideal location for a romantic rendezvous, a hand-in-hand stroll. But now that night is falling, look out. The scene is changing. All of the carefree innocence is ebbing away. A dark tide is rushing in to fill the void. By twilight, Mulberry Garden is as tough as its name is gentle. A hooker heaven, a gambling den. But bad as it looks, they say you're safe here. Don't you believe it? In an hour or so, some young thugs will start drinking, and the brawls they have here sometimes are real killers. And there are a few other things I've not told you about Mulberry Garden. In 1609, King James I became eager to establish a silk industry in England, so he secured 4.5 acres of scrap land to be the site of a royal silk farm. Now, the king knew that silkworms thrive on mulberry. Accordingly, he had some 30,000 mulberry trees planted. But advisors forgot to tell the king one thing. Silkworms like white mulberry trees, and on the royal silk farm had been planted 30,000 black mulberry trees. So Britain's silk industry failed before it ever got off the ground, and for decades to come, a large mulberry grove lay unattended. Then somebody came up with this pleasure resort idea. The unproductive silk farm of England's former king became a Mulberry Garden, bustling with humanity as never before. British diarist Samuel Pepys once referred to it as a somewhat pretty wilderness. It attracted the fashionable and the famous, and eventually the notorious. After dark, the sprawling grounds were crawling with an array of night creatures, gamblers prepared to pluck chickens from the provinces, shady ladies hustling any and all male passers-by. The shadows of Mulberry Garden concealed every variety of licentious behavior. So consistent was the drunkenness and debauchery under the stars that the ill repute of the area persisted even long after Mulberry Garden was finally closed to the public. Had those who frequented the place been only a little better behaved, Mulberry Garden might have remained open to this day. And yet so flagrant was the iniquity which flourished there that it had to be shut down and sold. The purchaser was a duke who built a grand home for himself on the site. King George III admired it so much that he bought the land back from the duke in 1761. By the way, it was the Duke of Buckingham. Now, don't get ahead of me. But it's true, the infamous district of roughhouse and gambling and prostitution, once called Mulberry Garden, has been forgotten as such because of the dignity and the royalty and the elegance which took its place. You may have wondered how they ever chose the location for Buckingham Palace. Well, now you know the rest of the story.